Welcome to Gathering Hope Slaying the Stigma podcast. This is a podcast focused on changing the narrative of pregnancy and infant loss, one story at a time. To learn more about Gathering Hope, you can find us online at gatheringhope.org, as well as on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I am Carol Vantine, co-founder of Gathering Hope and producer of Slaying the Stigma podcast. And now, here is Peyton Lauderdale, my fellow co-founder and host of the program.
Yeah. So, just being married and living in the same house as another person who isn't you is just.
Yeah. Well, in every personality, you know, I think for Jason and I, we're even right now just trying to figure out, like, how do we make this comfortable for multiple personalities and different stories and different environments that people are coming from? And, you know, we only know us, right? And so we are working really hard to invite other couples who have navigated similar journeys, their voices into what did you need that you didn't have, you know? And one of the things that we keep hearing is like, I don't know how to talk to my spouse about this, or they don't want to talk about it, or they don't know how to talk about it. And so one of the things that we're going to have, you know, we hope to have actual weekend retreats, similar to what you do, for your 1 day events. We are going to offer 1 day events, starting this year, but
awesome.
We hope to have whole weekend opportunities, but until then, what can we do? Right. So we hope to have, like, honestly, as maybe like lame as it sounds, conversational cards, like here's some tools. Have a conversation that no one ever wanted to have, that's awkward, and that genuinely just, you don't know the outcome. Like, you don't know the outcome of this conversation, but here are some tools to navigate it.
Yes.
And really just covering the different things that people go through and helping them kind of ask the questions and giving them the tools to have the hard conversations.
Yes.
And so that's one of the first things that we'll be providing in our cabins, because we hope that they'll have defining conversations while they're here on this beautiful property, that they have opportunity to be in nature, to be just each other, to rest, right? Like, and we're going to tell them, like, don't have a conversation every day. Have one conversation while you're here.
Right.
And let it be like a launching pad for the other things. Because in marriage, we need that anyways. And then you add these kind of navigating these kind of conversations, and it's just a whole nother ballgame. So
we were blessed to have a therapist who started the conversation with this. And she said, my job is to take two people and prevent you from going like separate ways in this journey.
Yeah, that's good.
But to keep you on, now obviously it's going to look different for men and women because we're just different.
We are different. exactly.
But to keep you on the same path towards health and towards healing, as opposed to having you separate journey over here and your separate journey over here. Yeah. And you know, I'm just so grateful that she was like, my goal is to keep you together.
Yes.
And
isn't it amazing how, I don't know if you guys experience this, but like the very thing that is, it's the whole thing is trying to grow our family, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's where we start. And that's something that you dream about, you hope for, right? You're building towards, you're doing, like you said earlier, all the things for. But then you have this like disruptor that no one expects. And it's like the thing you were trying to build gets broken down. And so many people are losing the very thing that provides them that family. You know, Jace and I say all the time, we're family. We are a family of. Now we include our little dog in there. So we're like, we're a family of three. But it's the two of us, and we are a dang good family. We are a family unit that is thriving, and we love each other, and we are experiencing things that we never thought we would. And there are pages in our story and in our family unit that we kind of wish we didn't have to live. And it's a narrative that we never thought we'd have. But man, we are an awesome family. And so it's really just kind of like you guys say, like, it's changing the stigma, the narrative that we aren't a family unit.
Wow. I never would have considered y'all to not be a family, but
yeah.
Maybe that's, would you say more about that? How you guys have experienced the stigma of, well, you don't have living children, so therefore.
So it's more mindsets or like, it's more attitude.
Okay.
Where the question gets asked of like, are you, I guess, ever going to have kids? Well, I don't know. I mean, for years it was, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, I think it's a matter of how people receive what a family is. So in our culture, it's a family is two adults with children, with one children or more. And sadly, people, we have friends that have one child, and they're always like, are you not gonna grow your family? Okay, well, my family is grown. We are a family. And so it's more of a cultural expectation that gets it gets projected. And so, you know, whether it be job interviews, like when we've interviewed for church jobs and we've been asked, well, how are you going to pastor since you don't have kids? Well, the same way I have for all these years, like being there for someone is not dictated by if I have children. It's just not.
Do you suppose anybody ever asked Paul, like, hey, man, like, wife up already. Where's your kids? You can't lead us. What in the world? Right?
Like, it's crazy. I mean, we've had some pretty blunt things like that asked, but I think mostly it's just culturally it's projected that when we have kids, we'll be a family.
Wow.
And so, you know, I mean, the job thing, because we've been in ministry for, I don't know, majority of our married life. And it is definitely like sometimes tiptoed around and other times just directly like, okay, how do you lead or like, how do you pastor people like this?
Mm-hmm.
I just met with a lady the other day and they're pastors and they don't have children. They've been married 22 years like us. And I asked her, I said, how have you navigated people's like ignorance around this?
That is going to be my question. Can you just teach us?
I always tell people this. I say, instead of, do you have children? Are you having children? I always say, tell me about your family.
Beautifully said.
Because I believe that if it's a single person, they are a family. Right? They have family. They probably have sisters or brothers or nieces or nephews. And so as an aunt, I love talking about my nephews. I'll tell you a good nephew story at the drop of a hat. And I love being an aunt. I love my nephews. And so if somebody asked me, like, tell me about your family, that's probably actually badly over Jason what I would go to. But I tell people, ask a question in a way that doesn't define it for the person before you've asked them. So maybe that's not tell me about your family. Tell me about yourself.
Yes.
You know, because you don't know if the person's single. What if they're single because their husband died or their wife died? Or what if they're newly divorced and they've gone through a traumatic, abusive relationship and you're defining them before they've even had a chance to tell you who they are? And so this will be like a huge soapbox. I'll have to rein myself in, but I don't understand why we define other people's lives before we've given them the opportunity to tell us who they are. So, you know, the people in your world, and you know, I can't tell you how many times we've been asked and still are. It's getting less and less because we're pretty vocal, and you can't like find us on social media or anything else without knowing, like, we don't have children and we're not having children. But it still gets asked, you know, are you guys going to have kids? Now it's, are you going to adopt?
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask people if they're going to have kids or if they're going to adopt, because you don't know what they're going through. But also don't ask someone if they're getting married. Like, when are you going to get married? When are you going to date somebody, you know, or if somebody's widowed, like, when are you going to get back out there? Okay. Just stop asking. And I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. Stop asking asinine questions.
Yes.
And putting people in a place where they are already navigating something that you will never remotely understand. And that's just a given by the stupid questions you're asking. Or like putting someone in a place where they have to educate you on how to be a kind, aware human. Like, just already be kind and aware.
Yes.
We
talk about, you know, when people ask, like, how many kids do you have?
Yeah.
And like the variety of people's answers, they're just going to vary. Some women are like, I will always tell people about every single baby I have.
Yeah.
I have landed on a place of, if I will see you again, I will share my.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, but if you are the person, unless the Holy Spirit prompts me and says, like, tell them about James, I just don't need to tell the person who is ringing up my groceries about my child in heaven. It's just not a thing that I have. I'm not denying him. He's still real, no matter.
That's exactly right.
Right. But I resist doing this, but I'm going to, especially in ministry spaces, particularly women's ministry spaces. We are very defined by our family.
Yes. Yep.
And I maintain that I am a very interesting person beyond who I'm married to and who I birthed.
That's exactly right. Yes.
And
white hanky is out again. Woo!
I like, we've got to come up with better questions. But, you know, one of my goals in the world, and it sounds like you too, is to erase the stigma of even talking about this and having these conversations. And you've educated me on like some better questions I can ask of tell me about yourself, or tell me about your family. The first time we talked, I think I had asked that question and I used it immediately. I was like, tell me about your family. And I'm like, I love learning new things, but two, like, if we don't have intentionality towards how we can speak to people and affirm them outside of who, you know, God created Peyton to be this, that, and the other. And he created Bonnie Ruth to be this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he equipped each one of us with our gifts and, you know, our downfalls, right?
No, that's good.
But, and I love my people.
Yeah.
I think they're amazing.
Yeah.
But I also think, like, you know, each one of them is going to grow up and have some, you know, maybe they will not have children or have trouble conceiving or, I just don't know what the path is for them.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know what the path is for any single person I come across.
Exactly.
Through the course of my day.
Yeah. Well, and I think that just also goes back to, you know, everybody's living their own story. And we, even if we're close to someone, right? Like, as I'm getting to know you, there's certain assumptions I could make because we have similar things woven into our stories. But I shouldn't, I should not come in with an assumption that I know or that I can relate to certain things. In our desire to relate to people, we actually are causing damage. And so that's why I really harp on it so much, is because I understand that a lot of times it's genuinely out of care and wanting to relate.
Mm-hmm.
But in our desire in that, we are actually unaware of how to relate. And I think, you know, going back to what you just said about, you know, you're Peyton and I'm Bonnie Ruth, what if, you know, your kids have to navigate something similar to this? You would teach them that it doesn't define them. And so I say, going back to this point, that, and I'm always careful and I'm pausing simply because I don't want to ever cause more damage to somebody in what I say. But the reality is, we are not defined by how many children we have or we don't have. And my heart grieves for the community that we're in, because a lot of times we are allowing it to define us.
I will be the first to say that I do struggle with that.
Yes.
Same. My identity is in, and I will say this, this is a huge part of our platform, is helping people see themselves as mothers.
Yeah.
And whether or not their children are here with them or not, I identify, you know, deeply in that way. And to have that stripped away from me is hard. It's hard.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I say I pause, because it's such a thin, thin gray line. I'm going to say it like that. Of, I am a mom. I have never held my children, but I am a mom. And I am proud of that. I am proud of the fact that there's been something awakened on the inside of me that only your child that you've carried inside of you for however long that was can awaken on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And so I'm proud of that. But I've had to learn that my childlessness, my miscarriages, my motherhood, my role as a wife, my role as a believer in what I do in the body of Christ, like legacy place, barren, not those things actually don't define who I am. They are an expression of who I am.
Mm.
And so in that, and I'm not saying I've got this down by any means whatsoever, I am a work in progress in this, but yeah. I try so hard to live it, because I don't want anyone else to feel like they don't have a beautiful, fulfilling, purposeful life if they don't have that thing that defines them. Because it is just an expression, you know. Even my infertility journey, that is just part of the pages of my story. It's not who I am. And I so desire to see, I will never relinquish the title mom, right? So I'm going back to that to better describe. I will never relinquish that title, because I am. But that, and my own definition of motherhood, is not defining who I am. It is a part of the life that I'm living. And so in that, I want to be able to express myself outside of just that.
Yeah.
And so it's really a fine line, because there are titles and pieces of who we are and what we're living, but it's not a definition of who we are. And I think our definitions are much broader than sometimes we allow, right? And also, to the purpose point, like I don't think we have one purpose in life. Otherwise, like, man, I've already screwed that up. I think there is purpose in us. And we also get to live that out in different expressions and different seasons, and different chapters of our story represent a different purpose on the inside of us. And so otherwise, like, I feel like God's so boring. Like, if we are just supposed to be living one purpose, like, do we actually serve a big, creative, powerful, awesome God? Because that limits him so much. Like, I just think he's so much bigger and so much better. And he breathes so much more life on the inside of us. Okay, I'm going to stop now.
So let me ask you this question. What would you say to, because you mentioned, like, you might have someone who doesn't personally have this experience listening to the podcast. Yeah. What would you say to the person who is like, I'm going to mess up, so I'm just not going to say anything at all?
Yeah.
What do you tell them?
Okay. I'm going to answer it, and then I want you to answer it too.
Okay.
First of all, I think I would say, go to the person in your life that's navigating this narrative, this story, this pain, and tell them, I don't know. I don't know how to be your friend. I don't know how to be your mom in this. I don't know how to be your sister. I don't know how to be your husband. But I'm going to try. And so I'm going to ask that we have grace on each other. Mm-hmm. And I say it that way for this reason, because a lot of times we expect people to get it right and we don't have grace on them when they don't. And that's on us because they don't know how. But then also, we need to be honest that we need grace too, because we actually don't know what we're doing either.
True.
And so if we can both say to one another, hey, I don't know how to do this either. And so just having that, like, hard, raw conversation with whomever that is, and giving each other permission to get it wrong. And then saying, okay, then what does that space look like? Because I also don't want the person walking through the grief or pain to be bombarded, right? That's not helpful either. And so I always tell people, come up with whether it's a code word or it's a question or it's a way that you both feel comfortable, and then revisit that ever so many months. Don't think that the one thing's going to last forever, because in different seasons of the grief and pain, we need to switch it up. So rehab this conversation more than once, but ask each other, like, okay, what can I do to enter safely your space? And I typically just say, like, hey, is it an okay day or time for me to enter your space?
Mm-hmm.
And I usually communicate, hey, I feel like there's something in my heart, or there's something that I don't know how to navigate. Would today be when's a good time to have that conversation? Because then you give this other person space to navigate it, the question. And thank God for text messaging, because I feel like that can also, it can work against us and for us. But in this situation, hey, I just wanted to let you know, like, I feel like there's something I may either be taking wrong, or maybe I'm not understanding, or I feel like I need to be doing something and I don't know what it is. When it's a good time for you, could we have the conversation? It lets them process what you're thinking, and then it gives them the ability to state when they're ready.
Are you sure I have to answer this? Because that was so well said.
Yes, because you're coming at it from navigating conversations with people that I don't navigate very often. And so, yeah, I'll be the first to say, I don't ever get this right always. Let me give an example. About 2 months ago, I traveled back and forth to Michigan for my work, and my parents live up there. So I was staying with my parents, and my mom just started crying one day. And she was like, I'm so sorry that I didn't pray enough. Like, I feel like I didn't pray enough or do enough for you so that you could have a baby.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, well, freaking heck, Mom, that's a lot to carry around. And so at first I was like, Mom, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And I found myself not wanting to go there with her, but then also, like, I felt two things. One, I felt annoyed because I'm like, why is she feeling this way right now? Like, we're like 3 years past this mess. Like, how are we here right now? And then I felt great compassion because I'm like, oh my gosh, my mom, who, like, does so much for me, is feeling that. And so that's why I say, like, don't just respond, like, take a breath. Cause I first I was responding, and so I don't always get it right. I was like, Mom, it's fine. It's fine. And then I took a breath and I just went and sat down and I looked at my mom and I said, Mom, neither one of us are responsible for me not having kids. No. To be frank, I said, I don't know where the hell to put that responsibility. I don't.
Yeah.
I know that in the world, they would tell me I should blame God. Like, why didn't he could, blah, blah, blah. But I also know that God sustained me in a way that I never could have made that through. So I can't blame God. I don't know where to put the blame. I said, Mom, it is not on you and me to have that. Or to carry that responsibility. So I don't know. I share that to say, like, I don't always get it right. And I don't think the conversation's ever over.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
So if we think that we're going to be done with it, and I'm saying this to friends and family, get over it. Like, the conversation is never going to be over. So if you're sick of talking about it or you're sick of navigating it, then you might not should be around me, because that's going to look different in every season of my life. Mm-hmm. Right now, it looks very different. And some of the people that have walked with me in the most painful parts, they're actually not getting to be a part of this season. It's actually really joyful and not so painful, because it's like they couldn't enter the next season. And so I don't blame them for that. I think it's, and I'm sorry, I'm going off on this, but I think it's, they carried me in the way that they needed to, and they were there for me in that season. But for sadly, but also probably just life, they haven't entered this season with me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's because they were just really tired of the last season that was just like a dark hole, and understandably, because it was super dark. But I just want to say to, like, family and friends, it's never going to end. It's just going to look different.
Yeah. That is so, so well said. So many, like, there's about 15 different sound bites in what you just said there. what I would say to that is, I would try and start the conversation of, I'm going to get this wrong. Guaranteed. You know?
Yeah.
I think your perspective on grace is so, so well said. But if I'm trying to, I want to say something and I don't want to be a person who says nothing. I think I would let the griever in my life know, like, I'm going to get this wrong. Also, it is not your job to come up with a list of things for me to do right. That's, I don't want to put that's an good. Additional burden on you.
I like that. I'm going to take that.
I don't want to give you the burden of teaching me all the time.
That's good.
This is what I need from you.
Really?
So good. I think your point to the conversation is going to evolve through different seasons. To keep having the conversation
is a
great point. To, like, let's start with that from the beginning.
Yeah.
I love that. And asking permission, like, do I have permission to check in with you every so often? And like, can I ask how you're doing? Knowing it might be hard. So I really, really have, because, like, it's in our nature of, like, how can I support you right now is still a great question.
But also, don't negate it.
Yes. I always follow up with, like, what's the best way for me to support you right now? Also, please take into consideration, it is not your job to come up with a list of ways that I can support you right now. So if it is through prayer or leaving you alone right now, those are okay.
Exactly.
If there is a tangible really need powerful. If there is a tangible need that I can fulfill, it would bless me to do that for you. But please don't come up with a list of things or a bunch of meals you want or whatever.
Right? You know? Like, who wants to think about, okay, that is like a little, it'll be a more of a funny soapbox, but I'm like, who the crap wants to think about what they want to eat when they just want to lay in bed and cry and they don't want to talk to another human or eat food really, but you need me to fill out this meal train thing so that people can bring me food. Like, it's the best worst thing in the world.
It is the best worst thing in the world. Yes.
Thank God for DoorDash and Uber Eats. Gift cards. Like,
yes.
I tell people, we actually told people when I had my hysterectomy, we were like, well, plus it was during COVID. So like, I didn't want people bringing me meals, but I used it as a great opportunity to learn how to say for other situations we've had, like, hey, you know what? Gift cards are honestly the best because I don't know how we're going to feel and I don't know what we're going to be navigating each day. So instead of a meal plan or a meal train, could you do a gift card?
Yep.
And I've just been telling people, like, don't offer a meal plan where people have to bring food and drop it off. Like, unless you're just those people and you know you're fine with it. But yeah. I don't feel like most people want to have to navigate. And because you don't know. Like you said, I don't know if I need prayer or what my list would be for you. But I really do care that you want to help me. So yeah. Just bringing it down more practical even. Like, hey, don't make me figure out if I want Mexican food or Chicken Express, just give me a DoorDash gift card.
yeah. Have you seen that post going around called Grief Groceries?
No.
It's really, really good. And it's basically like, they didn't ask, they just brought like stuff that you could put in the fridge or the freezer and toilet paper and Kleenex. And like, it's outside. I have dropped it off already.
That's so great.
You know, you don't have to greet me at the door. They snapped a picture and said, this is sitting on your front porch right now.
Yes. That's so good.
And,
don't we all think about like practical things? Like, okay, everyone's going to need toilet paper, paper towels, and tissues, no matter what they're going through.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just an example, but it's like, there are basics. Let's just stick to the basics, people, you know? I always think like when people have funerals and they have like this big meal afterwards, like, I think that's the worst idea ever in the world. I'm a strong believer. I told Jason, like, when I die, like, don't have everybody like come over and have a meal right away. Like, let's party later when you've had a few weeks to like process, you know, I don't want to sit around. And so I'm just like anti that, and I love people. So it's really weird that I feel that way. Like, I am a people person all the time, but I just think there are certain moments where people should not be in my space. And, that's one of them. So anyways, I could go off on practical, funny things that have happened. I'm sure you could too.
Yes.
Really, like, come on, people. But so I have a question for you. If you could tell both of our communities one thing that could help them, because we just talked about like ways to navigate conversations, but like, what's one thing that you have found to be so helpful to the people who are walking with grievers? Like, that would be an encouraging statement. Meaning, if you were coming to me and I'm in a season of grief, what have you found to be an encouraging phrase or statement that's not offensive, that's not off-putting, but that's just you expressing your heart to me and being able to show that you care? What's a way that you would say, like, try this? I know it's not a cookie-cutter thing, but I do think people appreciate not having to come up with these things on their own. You and I have already had to navigate this, right? So let's help some people not look like idiots and fumble and feel like they're hurting someone.
You know, the thing that is just ringing true in my brain right now, and this is going to sound weird because so often we want to say the opposite, but be open to saying yes to things. Be open to saying yes to help, not help that is a burden for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's
like,
good. Yeah.
If it is help that requires you to do more, that's actually a no. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
But be open to saying yes to new people who are going to come your way that you either don't know yet or a new direction on your relationship. So many of the people that I have met in this journey were complete and utter strangers. My co-founder to Gathering Hope literally lived 15 minutes from me, and I had never met her before.
Wow.
And the only reason I know her is because we both lost sons. That's the only reason why.
Yeah.
And we both had a heart for wanting to help other moms. And someone saw that in her and said, "Hey, you need to meet my friend Peyton."
Yeah.
So be open to saying yes to new relationships.
Yeah.
Saying yes to help that is actually helpful. Because so often, especially if you're like the helper type, right? Like you're so used to giving that help. And when it comes to being your turn to being in the position of needing help, I think so many of us are resistant to that help.
Yeah.
Of like, I don't need help. I should know how to do this. I should be feeling this. I should be.
Yeah. That's good.
Just be open to saying yes.
That's really good. I like that. I like that a lot. I'm even taking that in for myself. Like, that's really good. It's really good.
What would be your one thing that you would share with
someone? Oh gosh. I was taking yours in so much. I gotta think. I would say, in counterpart with your yes, step back and breathe. And I say that because I'm not very good at it. but when I do it, it really is helpful. And I say that we interpret things through our own perceptions. And whether that's a text or a call or an invite or an offer or a statement or whatever it might be, we interpret those things through our own lenses and our own perceptions of the person, of our own experience, of ourselves. And that's something that I'm really, really trying to work on in my life, is like, I will often interpret things through my own lens of myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm feeling down on myself, if I feel like I'm failing, if I feel like it's my fault, if I feel like I should, like you just said, then when something comes my way and it should be a yes, I often miss out because I'm interpreting that moment through my own lens of myself. And I say I'm really bad at that because I tend to do that all the time. And I'm really trying to stop and breathe, because that breath like kind of is like a moment to clear your thought process or clear your head or take a pause. And it just allows me to see the moment differently than I might be seeing it.
Yes.
And sometimes I'm seeing it right. I'm not saying that I always see it wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am seeing it right and I need to step back. But I can't say yes, like you're saying, if I am interpreting things the wrong way. And so I think it's just a matter of giving ourselves the opportunity, but also other people the opportunity by just taking a breath. You know,
it's important to take those pauses and like not overthink, but just think, you know, thinking through something.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need a nap or a snack or,
you know. And I do, like, I kind of ask myself, like, okay, Bunny, what do you need right now? Or what are you seeing that's right? And what are you seeing that needs a shift? And I think it's the Holy Spirit. It's asking the Holy Spirit to, like, what in this moment do I actually need? And what in this moment am I actually seeing?
Mm-hmm.
What do you want me to see? And that sounds so super spiritual, but it's just part of the pause. I think, like, I see in part and hear in part, but the Holy Spirit is such a guide, right? He's a comfort, he's a guide, and he's a friend. And so I think knowing that I can stop and pause and I don't have to figure it out by myself is also really encouraging, you know?
Oh, yes. Yeah. If it was left up just to me, this whole ship would have sailed a long time ago.
Exactly. Same.
I want to ask before we leave.
Okay.
How can people connect with you after the podcast?
Yes. And same for you. Okay, so you can find me in two different paths. We have a podcast, which is Bare and Not Broken. You can find me at Bare and Not Broken for Instagram, Facebook, bareandnotbroken.com. My podcast is on all podcast platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, all of that, Podbean. And then for Legacy Place, we have legacyplaceretreat.com is our website. We are at Legacy Place Retreat for Instagram and Facebook. And right now it's just kind of going along the journey of us building this thing. Some of it's like little fancy posts, and then other of it's reels of us out fixing the barbed wire fence.
Nice.
Where we, it's just life. Like, it's life right now of building this thing. So I invite people to come along. Also, if you want to, you can email us at info@legacyplaceretreat.com. And we are, actually, I should check that now that I just said that. I never give that out. I just usually am texting it. So hold on. Legacyplaceretreat.com. And I invite people to come and message us if you want to. There's also a place on our website where you can fill out the form and follow along with us. Yeah. We don't spam you. We aren't going to email you every week even. We just really want to have people take the journey with us. But it also just tells a little bit more about us. So we're on all those things. And the podcast is just a way that we can encourage people on the daily. We have a lot of guests. Typically, you don't get to listen to me by myself. I don't have enough to say by myself, and that's worth hearing. But I interview people, and that's kind of what Bare and Not Broken is all about, is we all may have barren places in our lives, but we don't have to live broken.
Mm.
And then Legacy Place is really just a place where people can come to rest and reconnect and refocus and redefine their legacy.
Beautiful. So you can find all things Gathering Hope at gatheringhope.org. We have our podcast called Slaying the Stigma. We're also on all different platforms. Yes. And it's so funny. So I have a 14-year-old. And okay, when we first started Slaying the Stigma, slaying actually meant like slaying, right? Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The youth have turned it into like a whole a different meaning, but I'm sticking with it. Slaying the Stigma is the name of our podcast. And have our annual gathering that takes place here in Texas, October 7th. And I think that you're going to love the theme for this year. It's called This Is Our Story. And so we take a retreat in December of every year and pray through what our theme is going to look like and the verse and the music and all of those things. So, and that is a full day conference here in Texas. And then our host sites will be doing a slightly shorter version of it in their places in Nebraska, Oklahoma, Florida.
Wow.
Couple other places that are coming up. They've sent us some info requests, and so that's an exciting portion of what we do. Yeah.
Yes, I love that.
But basically, a gathering is for women who are, we call it the sucky sisterhood. And so if you are part of the sucky sisterhood, this is what you've been looking for. And it is a time to intentionally connect and, the takeaway is that you are not alone.
So, that's really good. I love that y'all call it that. It's just so great.
it just beautifully captures who we are, you know?
It's so true. Okay. So I did want to say one thing really quick that I forgot about. That's okay. We also have a one day event in Euless, Texas on October 14th of this year. And it's a one day event, and it's just really for couples to come to unwind and relax and engage in genuine discussion and gain inspiration from other couples who are going through this similar journey. And we called it Legacy Forward because we really believe that as a couple, you can step forward together with hope in the story that you're writing in your own life. And so more of that will be coming up on all of our stuff, but I'm excited because I can't wait to be at your event. And obviously the next week is mine, but I think it's just important to go back really quickly as we're wrapping up. You know, you said lean in, for people to lean in and say yes. And I think these are the kind of things that we want to lean in, but we also really don't. I don't know about you, but when I'm in the middle, when I've been in the middle of this, it's like, I'm so pulled. There's like a yes and a big old freaking no all at the same time.
Yes.
And so I really want to encourage our listeners, if they know someone or if they are someone who could use these events, lean into the yes.
Yes.
And sign up, because come from wherever you are, because, there is nothing like saying yes to something like that, showing up, and it literally changing the trajectory of how you walk your story and how you walk your marriage, how you walk the grief. It doesn't change that there is grief. Okay. Like, let's not give false hope.
Yes.
It doesn't change that there is grief, but the way we walk it and how we walk it and who we walk it with. And there is something about being in a room with people who can empathize and not just sympathize.
It's life-changing stuff.
It's life-changing. So I really hope they'll hear you on that yes part. Go back, rewind it if you weren't paying attention. Like, rewind it and listen to that, and then go and sign up for, you know, Gathering of Hope and Legacy Forward, because I think that your yes could be a huge change that could rewrite the course of how you walk your journey.
I'm excited about what you guys are doing. So many of the moms walk away from a gathering and they're like, I wish my husband had something like this, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I think there are a lot of dads who aren't going to come to something unless their wife is with them.
Yep. And I totally agree.
So what you guys are doing for couples is it's an essential thing. And I just love the work that you guys are doing, especially as a couple, to model that for other people. I love that. Yeah, so
I hope so.
Thank you for this collaboration. This has been fun.
Yes, it has been so good. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for your time. I'm grateful for your community and what you guys are doing. And I'm just excited. I'm excited to continue seeing how our organizations can champion each other, mm-hmm. and how we can champion each other's communities, because we all need it. And
likewise,
thank you so much. It's been a beautiful conversation. And I hope, as listeners, that you have taken in something practical, but also something that has gone deep in your heart and will help you in defining how you want to walk your own story.
Beautifully
said.
No
matter the marriages in our lives, we do not have to live broken. So thank you so much, Peyton.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Slaying the Stigma. To continue the conversation, we invite you to subscribe to this podcast and connect with us at gatheringhope.org, Instagram, YouTube, or our private Facebook group, where you can meet other mothers and find support. We know that pregnancy loss is lonely, but you're not alone. We're survivors too. Let's walk through this journey together.